And we're back on the air. Glenn Coble, Scott Spears, Wednesday, September 30th, 2020, 9:30, 2020. Last day of September this year, 16 minutes past the hour. We go to October tomorrow. And we're talking about the presidential debate last night. Number one, 740-383-9944. If you have any thoughts on it, we'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Progressive Life with Glenn Coble coming up 12 to 1 today. Dr. Ron Feynman is the new regular guest, and he'll be on today from 12:15 to 1 p.m. A transplant from Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp. There was a big conspiracy fight, knockdown drag out there that led to that. So that's makes that whole debate last night look like a...
Just
a little spot. You know, that was the prize fight that threw Dr. Feynman around.
Can I throw something happy in?
Go ahead. A little promo here. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman today. We'll return live after Nate was on vacation last week, 4 to 5. And Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will be on 6 to 7, and it's this past Sunday service. There you go.
Okay. The Coble family, and because my daughter's name is Smith now, which is kind of interesting since my mother's maiden name was Smith. But anyway, the Cobles and the Smiths are very happy this morning. We got a notification by my grandson, who's a 15-year-old left-handed 6'5" pitcher. He has been invited, and he has agreed to go to University of North Carolina to pitch for the Tar Heels.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
How nice.
Yeah, it was great for us.
That is. Well, you know, yesterday when we had Luke on, Rogers from River Valley, who has scored 6 touchdowns in 2 games.
Pretty good. Must have some speed.
Well, against Pleasant and against Harding.
Yeah.
And 6 touchdowns in 2 games. It's very impressive. And I wrote about him last night on Facebook, which I don't normally do about a guest. But what I was shocked about with him was it was clear to me that there was no ego. And it will come across as egotistical. There was no ego with him. There was no... he was able to conversate. He was able to keep a conversation. He wanted to mention the people who had helped him get to where he is. And it was just a refreshing reminder that sometimes we paint kids with all the same brush, and you know, it's lost generations, and where's this group going, and oh my goodness. And here's a kid who scored 6 touchdowns, clearly good at football, but also, from my understanding yesterday, a very good student, a very good family. And I know his family has been through some difficult times. You know, it was not the best, always the best of times, let's say. But you know what? You can get through to the other side. So I thought that was a nice story.
I'm trying to pull up a picture of him that she had it posted. His mom had it posted, I think, last night or something. But
and you think she's not middle-aged with a...
She had a baby when she was 3.
No. That's not true at all.
Abby, I still love you. I don't care how old you are.
False news.
I'm really proud that I know his mom, and I wish
not
I...
me.
Huh? But not
me. Oh, sorry. Did I say that on the mic?
You said that on the mic.
Oh, no. I meant to cover that up. Chris Wallace, turn my mic off. Hit the mic.
Well, I tell you what, these kids, and having been in athletics for 18 years, and I've broadcast athletics since I was 18, I've broadcast athletic events, and I've had the best of times and the worst of times with some of these kids that most of the kids are pretty good kids. They're fairly, you know, not all of them are perfectly smart, but most of them are, you know, above average students, and most of them are very kind and know what to say. And I've just, I also had one that died on the court, which was horrible. He was also a wonderful kid, but had one of those heart things. I'm just so proud to watch these kids do so well. I obviously am proud that my grandson's going to play for the Tar Heels, but I had three kids that all were college athletes, and not that high school athletes should take a second tier to them. It's tough to play in high school as well. And it's tough to get all your homework done and get all your stuff done that you have to do and then get to practice and then have a game. I'm real proud of all these kids.
Well, I thought it was a good interview yesterday. I thought it came across well. I thought it was...
It's nice to see that you enjoyed it with him.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, do you think I wouldn't enjoy it with him?
Well, I was afraid that maybe your opinion of his mother might have...
Oh, well... she was here.
Nice lady. Very nice
lady. Now, how
lady.
Do you know, Glenn?
Well, I
You've
can
never
tell.
Spent any time with her. I've spent a lot of time with her at this particular point. I can tell you the truth of the matter.
Okay, I don't think we should put that on the air.
Oh, I've probably done it before. Wouldn't be the first time. No, she's a nice lady.
Yep.
Nice older lady. I try to respect my elders, Glenn.
No, you
I try
don't.
To respect my elders. Darn it. I'm trying to be nice.
You've never shown me any respect.
You're trying to lead me down the... this sounds like the debate last night. Yeah. You're trying to lead me down the primrose path here. I don't know. It's just one of those things. But he was a good kid, and I liked having him on, and that was a lot of fun.
Tell me, you didn't really say much about what Eleanor is. Eleanor is one of my favorite people on radio and television. What did she say, basically? Can you give me just a...
I think she thought that Biden did very well, and Trump kind of showed who he was, but... she thought a lot of the pundits were wrong when it was over about not having any more debates and how awful it was. She didn't seem to think it was that awful.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, if you wanted to see what people were like, I think last night's debate kind of showed what both of them were like. And you might say, if you were a Trump fan, you might say it showed that Biden was weak and didn't attack. And if you were a Biden fan, you would say what I've been saying, that he's a thug.
Well, and if anybody has an opinion, we'd love to hear it one way or another. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But, you know, it almost had to happen that way because we have had this election where there hasn't been a lot of rallies because of the pandemic, and the conventions were certainly not what they normally are. So I think it's just a little different. And certainly the pandemic is and the racial protest going on around the country, I think that's dominated a lot of the news. So this hasn't always been the forefront as it normally is this late in the election season. So I think there's... You know, for them to be there the first time with each other, I think it was maybe that was part of the problem.
Yeah.
It was just a combustible...
Put them in booths.
We can't put them in booths, Glenn.
Hey, since you're talking about this and the different... never mind. What would... I got to get younger again. I keep losing track. I'll get it back. Go on. I lost my train of thought.
I just don't know. I just think that, again, I think that... what I did want to mention was, this is why I brought this up, was that the ratings are not out for last night yet, so we don't have that yet. But this is United Kingdom. They don't vote for the president of the United States. But this is what was in their newspapers this morning. If you want to know what's going on overseas, their newspapers this morning said this headline. This is from the UK Times, the Times in the United Kingdom. The clearest loser from the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden was America. So there you go. And that's how I think, that's how an unbiased observer saw that thing.
They don't vote directly, but they vote indirectly. They have to deal with us. They have to be...
But they're not Democrats or Republicans. You know, I think sometimes our media, the problem is, they don't have any stake in that. They don't have any stake in that at all.
Well, they do have a stake in it. If they believe that Trump is not helping them, they will make their wishes known.
But clearly they didn't do that here. They basically are saying
it's a toss-up. Yeah.
Both of them are... That debate for both of them was not good for America.
It was kind of a neutral.
Yeah.
Well,
not a neutral, a bad.
Yeah, it showed how many ignorant people we have in the United States.
But I guess they're saying on both sides.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying one side or the other. We have a lot of ignorance.
Well, that's the problem with last night that I don't understand. Who won that? There's no winner. There's just shrapnel and messy nonsense this morning.
Again, I think Joe Biden showed that he was at least a decent man, and that's something. And he also showed that he was a thinking, cognitively there person, which is something that Trump was trying to say he wasn't.
But can anybody wake up this morning saying, that was great?
Oh, absolutely not. I woke up this morning going, I can't stand watching morning TV because they're going to tell me all sorts of stuff, but I watched anyway.
Well, it just, you know, even right after, you know, I'm always interested to see right after what the TV people will say.
Did you watch the Talking Heads right after?
Right after.
Yeah, I did
and
too.
And they immediately, it was not about Trump or Biden. I mean, they mentioned them in passing about what they did, but it was immediately, the first words on CNN, which is where I watched it, which old, I guess, liberal CNN, which is what they say now, the first words, the first voice you heard when that debate was over was Wolf Blitzer, who came on and said, we might have seen the last presidential debate. That it, the debate is the story, and I've never seen that.
It was disgusting, and the debate was the story, unfortunately.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Biden, Trump, I don't think it did anybody a bit of good.
See, I think by the debate being the story, Biden is a winner because he showed that. He didn't show that he was Sleepy Joe, and he didn't fall down, and he did act strong, even though he was being bullied. And I think, therefore, he won some. But I don't think either one of them had much to win or lose anyway, because I don't think there are many people that haven't decided who they're going to vote for.
Well, I just wonder people who were prepping them for the debate. Well, we talked about Trump, you think that he was prepped to do that.
I do.
Well, what was Joe Biden prepped to do, and did he do it?
I imagine that they assumed that the president was going to throw junk at him about his son. I doubt that they assumed he was going to be unrespectful to his elder son. But I assume they told him, okay, what are you going to say if he brings up, what's his name, his younger son?
Hunter.
Hunter. And they probably went over that, and they probably went over, should you talk about the New York Times article about his taxes? Did you notice they didn't really talk much about that?
No, that went nowhere.
Yeah, well, and I think he avoided talking about it. I don't think... that's a positive thing for the Democratic Party to talk about. Let it fall the way it falls, I think. And I don't know.
We just went back to show your taxes. That's where we were with that last night.
And I think that's probably the best thing they can do. He won't show his taxes.
I was, for apparently how big the Supreme Court deal is, how little that got.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but I don't think they wanted to go there because I don't think there's anything the Democrats can do, and they don't want to. They've got lots of irons in the fire. They know it's virtually a done deal because no Republican will ever go against whatever the president wants.
We're going to come back in 1 minute, but sure. I want you to answer this question. What did you think about Joe Biden very early on saying, I am the Democratic Party right now? We're going to come back in one minute with that answer. Stay tuned. Charlie, rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
You know, there's something I want to mention before I get... I don't want to forget this.
You asked me a question.
I know. You got to pause for a second. Because I believe it was yesterday or the night before, a long-time, very well-respected businessman in the community passed away. Cal Lamb passed away, who was... He was still working. I think, as a matter of fact, I saw him last week. I would see him all the time out and about, still running his business, and a longtime businessman, and a lot of people knew him. And I'm seeing a lot of posts on Facebook today about his passing, because it was so sudden and kind of shocking. So if you hadn't heard, if you don't get the paper, I don't think there's been an obituary yet, but Cal Lamb passed away, and it's shocking to the degree, like I say, that I think I saw him out and about last week.
That's the way I want to go. To the last minute, walking on the street.
In that moment, you know, it's unfortunate, though, because you don't suspect it. So Cal Lamb passed away. I believe it was yesterday, but it could have been the day before, but it certainly came about yesterday.
As I get older, I think a lot about, not a lot, but I think about dying. And one of the things I'm absolutely certain of is it'll be a lot more painful for my family than for me.
Well, so we're thinking about his family.
Yeah.
We think about his family and all the people who knew him. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of posts today about how good a guy he was, about how he'd give the shirt off his back. And this was a man who could do that. He had a business, and it was a successful business for many, many years. And it's unfortunate.
You know what bothers me about that sort of thing, and you hit it right on the head. How many people say he would give the shirt off his back? What a wonderful man he was. Make sure you tell those people.
I say that all the time, Glenn.
Yeah, I know you do.
Because I believe it.
But I think a lot of people forget to tell. Last night I got a text from one of my former students that basically said that to me. He was so proud of my son, my grandson, and what a wonderful thing I had done for him. I didn't, but he doesn't know it.
And now back to the question.
Yeah, what was the question?
The question was when Joe Biden very early on last night said, "I am the Democratic Party right now."
I think if they had asked Mr. Trump the same type of question, he would have said, "I am the Republican Party," because I believe that both candidates for president believe that they are the spokesperson for their party.
The problem, though, with the Democratic Party at this particular point is there is a very clear divide. Now, say what you want about the Republican Party, there doesn't seem to be that divide. There used to be a few years ago.
When
the Tea Party was in there, there seemed to be that divide.
It's still there.
But it seems to be gone.
Jim Jordan is ahead of that.
Mitt Romney was the only one who voted for impeachment in the Senate. So that's where the divide in the Republican Party is. Very small and very little. In the Democratic Party, we saw it in the 2016 election. We saw it in the current primary. There is a big divide between the AOC, Bernie Bros, that whole group. And when you say you're the Democratic Party, and by the way, I thought that was another interesting moment last night when Joe Biden said, "I am not for the Green New Deal." Yep. I don't know how that played with the far left group.
I don't think he cares how it played with him. He's telling them what he felt. He's telling them basically what the general public feels, that they're, you know, 72% are in favor of more green. What's the word? I can't think of the word, but they want to go green. And I think he was saying what the general public believes. Now, and the people that believe in that, I guess you'd call it the far right, far left green deal, I think they understand that that's something they're going to aim for. They're not going to get it.
But I think the problem is that
I don't think there will be fights over it. There might be internal fights.
Well, I think one of the problems is there is a fight, and we've seen it time and time again inside the Democratic Party for the last 4 years, about socialism, about Green New Deal.
I don't know anybody who's promoted socialism.
I don't think that Joe Biden was AOC's pick. I believe Bernie Sanders was, or Elizabeth Warren was. I think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders don't see Joe Biden as their ideal person.
No, of course not.
Right, I think
because they have minds. They have their own minds.
But what I'm saying is I think that becomes a problem on election day, because I think that last time Well, last time, I mean, clearly, Hillary Clinton wrote in her book, she said, Bernie Sanders half-heartedly endorsed me.
Yeah.
And, what was the thing at the Democratic convention? Bernie or bust? Bernie or bust?
Yeah, but that wasn't so at this last one.
Well, there wasn't any convention, really.
No, but Bernie really supported Biden's nomination, and it was full-throated. It wasn't partially-throated, and I don't believe for a minute that AOC or Bernie or anybody in that group would ever not vote for Biden in favor of a thug.
I don't think it's them, though, because I'm pretty sure that she, as well with Bernie, I think they, in the end they voted for Hillary. I have no doubt about it. But what I'm saying is their followers. Bernie said to his followers, vote for Hillary because this is better than Trump. But I don't think they did. I think they saw, see, there's an interesting thing that
they
goes
stayed
on.
Home.
Well, there's an interesting thing that goes on there, because even though they're completely opposites, could not be further away from each other, the Trump people and the Bernie Sanders AOC crowd, even though they couldn't be further apart from each other, they both are populist in a way. And they see the career politician as an awful thing. There were a lot of similarities, not policy-wise, between the Bernie Sanders movement and the Donald Trump movement. These were people who were different. They had different ideas. They weren't the status quo. They weren't Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, who we thought it would be, who had raised the most money, for whatever reason. The movements were very similar. The ideas were completely different, but the movements were similar.
Yeah, but I don't think that the Biden or the Bernie movement would ever lock their party up so that they couldn't vote in a way that was right and helpful to the country. They would stand with what's good for the country. Whereas I believe Mr. Trump has locked his organization up to the point where they don't care what's good for the Trump country. They care what's good for Mr. Trump.
But they have minds.
No, they don't.
Well,
not right now.
They have to make a choice. And Mitt Romney clearly did not make the choice on impeachment.
Right. And that was a while back.
Right. And I think one of the reasons they won't take the Supreme Court vote before the election is because all of these people, it's Mitch McConnell who's saying we're not going. Well, it's Mitch McConnell who's saying we are not going to do the stimulus. I guarantee you, if it were up to Trump, there would be a stimulus package with his name on it because he thinks that would help him in the election.
And his name would be on the checks,
right,
and everything else.
But Mitch McConnell's saying, no, we're not going to do this.
Well,
because he believes it would hurt his chances of keeping the Senate in those 10 seats that are going to swing it one way or another. So I think there's disagreement between Trump and his party.
I think so, too, because his party is cared. The main thing they care about right now is getting voted in. And Mitch McConnell has a pretty tight race. It's not razor thin, but it's fairly tight. I think it's 2 percentage points or something like that, which I guess is what they call inside the area. Yeah, whatever it is. And I think they want to vote for what will get them elected, and they know right now if they go against Trump, that base of, 38%, 42%, whatever it is right now, will turn them off.
But aren't they going against Trump at this point by not doing the stimulus, by not taking the vote beforehand?
It's kind of a quiet going against him. If they, I'm not quite sure. We'll wait. On November, 6th, whatever the election day is, plus whatever it takes them to count the rest of the votes, we'll find out what their true, sort of what their true feelings are, I think.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion on any of this or anything else going on, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And again, Progressive Life with Glenn Coble and Dr. Feynman, 12 to 1 today. And then Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I don't know. You know, a big picture of this whole thing, I think last night is just, I think it'll be forgotten quick as a big mess.
Oh, I think I think it'll be thought of, but it'll be thought of as a big mess. But I think a lot of people will refer back to this.
I don't think anybody ever going to be, like, there are debates which we still play clips from. Yeah, we're playing them yesterday. There's going to be no clips from that. I don't think there was a moment.
Oh, yes, I believe there will be clips, but they'll be very short. They'll be all three of them talking at the same time.
What a thing to be known for.
Yeah.
What a debate to be known for. What I mean, and that's the sad part of it.
Yeah, yeah. That was what frustrated the heck out of me, is that Mr. Trump would talk over both Biden and the MC, Wallace.
But none of them were doing a good job about getting rid of the crosstalk. None of them were able to balance it. It was very strange.
Well, Biden didn't try to interrupt Trump until Trump just had gone on and on and on and on. And finally, I think Biden felt, well, I'm not getting any time here. I got to get my views in.
Well, you think so. I don't know what the protocol is. Apparently, there is none.
Apparently. And that's sad. I think there should be a protocol on that. And I do think they should have a cough switch. And I think they should use it.
Well, I'll be interested to see what Chris Wallace will have to say.
Yeah, I will too.
About this,
he didn't talk right after. As a matter of fact, if you watch the end, he got off that stage pretty quick.
He probably went back in
stage right.
He probably went back and said, "I will never do this again."
Yeah, he probably did.
Will never, never, never do this again.
And he's one of the people on Fox News that I like to watch, because I think he's pretty fair and fairly balanced. And I'm sure he knows where his paycheck comes from. But he seemed, as a matter of fact, I was shocked that he brought up so many things, including telling the president to be quiet, which I was stunned that he was brave enough to do that. But he had to. If he had not done that, the whole world would have come down on him.
But he looks so uncomfortable.
Sure did.
I have never seen any moderator look, and there have been some uncomfortable moments. I've never seen any moderator look that uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back in my brain, and I think you're right.
I mean, he got so fidgety at one point. I mean, he would try to raise his hands, and he was stuttering, and he just couldn't.
Yeah, one of the pictures I have in my mind of him raising his hands to shut both of them up from the camera behind him, and he looked like, this isn't going to work.
No, and it didn't. And it just, what is that? Is that emotion? What? Like I said, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what happened. What happened? It just shouldn't have been that way.
No, it shouldn't. Because we don't have people that respect dignity. They don't respect honor. They don't respect the other person.
Well, the thing that I thought about,
say one person doesn't do
it. I said this earlier. I can't remember who was on. It was either Sam or Eleanor. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's hard to believe, because it doesn't seem like that long ago. But in 2016, there were kids who were 14 who didn't follow that at all.
Yeah.
And those kids are 18 right now.
Yeah.
And they are going to vote for the first time. And there are a lot of them who are going to vote for the first time. And that was probably the first presidential debate a lot of those kids ever watched. And if they think that's what it is, then that's awful. Because you've got one guy calling the president a racist. You've got the other guy just talking over everybody. You've got a moderator who can't keep control of it. And if that's what you believe it is, that might turn you off
yeah.
to politics.
Yeah. Well,
and so it goes. We'll be back in 1 minute. Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year, so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
If I could just keep this earpiece in, it keeps falling. Ever since you came in, it just keeps falling on out.
Well, that's because you want to hear the.
No, I don't want to hear. Obviously,
bits of wisdom
falls out constantly. All right, 15 minutes left. Does anybody else have anything else they want to talk about? We've talked about this quite a bit now.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
And we're going to talk about it on my show, Progressive.
Oh, I can hardly wait for that.
Yeah, you won't be around.
But I'll listen.
All right.
I'll listen. I heard you and Dr. Feynman talking about it last week.
Yeah, yeah.
About whatever.
I enjoy, he and I kind of agree on just about everything political. And I'm going to try to make it a little bit more so that when people are listening, they say, well, maybe there is a different side of that story, and I don't know whether I can do that or not, because I'm not going to disagree with
it. How do you think Dr. Feynman's going to hit this?
Oh, I already saw his tweets. He's basically what we said. It was a disaster.
Yeah, but I think he will go right after Trump.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for those of us who are on the left side of the aisle not to go right after Trump, because he was the one that was instigating the talking over of both the moderator and the...
I wonder if he had a problem with him calling him a racist.
I don't think he cares.
Well, there you go.
That's the problem I have with Mr. Trump, is I don't think he cares about anybody but himself. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
You know, I was fascinated, though, by... I wonder if there are going to be riots the day after the election on both sides.
I hope not.
On both sides. Because clearly Chris Wallace thought this was an issue last night. He picked these issues, these questions.
Yeah.
And he thought it was an issue.
Yeah.
I think...
Okay. I think that there might be riots amongst the right side if Trump loses. I think the left side will not riot if they lose, but they will walk in the streets.
Well, I wonder if people are ready for this.
Oh, I'm not. I'm scared to death of it. I had dreams last night that I was with Vice President Biden, and we were trying to figure out how to get out of a place because there were riots going on in the street. Now, I've been through riots. I was through the 68 riot in Grant Park in Chicago. I've been in a couple other riotous situations. It's not fun, especially if you're one that doesn't believe that rioting is the right thing to do. And I don't think... I would say, and that was one of the things that Trump brought up last night, is that there are all these riots. I think the riots come from people who are trying to find a way to get something for nothing. And so therefore, if there are people walking in the street and they start a car on fire, that'll give them a chance to break a window, run in, and get free stuff. And I don't think that has anything. I don't think they're thinking a bit about politics. It's just they're taking advantage of a situation.
You know, this Supreme Court argument that was only talked about a little bit last night about overturning an election, I thought that was very interesting.
Boy,
that all of a sudden that they could declare the mail-in ballots unconstitutional and overturn the decision of a presidential election.
Then there will be riots. There will be a civil war on that case.
Well, it didn't sound like it was off the table. Did it? Did it sound to you like that was off the table?
I think
it became an issue.
I think that was boasting to get effect. I don't think. I hope that we're not that stupid. We may be that stupid. I think we're proving to the world how many ignorant people we have, and I mean on both sides.
Well, that would be a whoever lost's lawyers going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
I mean that wouldn't be the voters. No. It's not like the voters would be doing that.
Now the Supreme Court was these people were picked as jurists that were supposedly brilliant jurists that were fair jurists. And I can't imagine a fair and honest jurist will do that sort of thing.
Do you remember the election of 2000?
Yeah.
They got involved in that one.
Yeah, they did get involved in it. Gore, I believe, handled that as well as anybody could. He basically bowed out because he could see it was tearing the country apart.
Well, because the Supreme Court said, I leave it to Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that was necessarily right.
Yeah, well, we always have struggles with states' rights, this country does. Do they really have more rights than the federal government, or don't they? And yeah, that sort of comes down on it. But
and I think that's when Gore got out.
Maybe. We have warts in our Constitution. We have warts in our political systems. We've got to get past the warts, and we've got to understand that we're going to get smacked down occasionally because of those warts.
I just think we're headed for a bad month of November. Because
I think you're right.
Well, I just think, first of all, I think we are going to know the winner that night. Now, all these people say they won't project, but we're going to know where we are. See, that's what people forget. You know, if we leave that night with, how are networks going to run that night? I mean, they're not going to declare any states.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And there are, I think, 8 states that have to have them counted by Election Day or something.
I just
can't have them counted by.
I just don't see that. I just don't see them. I mean, my goodness, they project exit polls. They project a state before all the votes are in. I think that's what will be happening that night. And
they have pretty smart logarithms that tell them after they see the vote. But I don't know. If you've got 80% of the people voting mail-in, Trump's going to say they're all fake, and the Democrats are going to say, "Go ahead and call it because it's us in favor." I don't think you call it.
I don't think they will call it. I think they will show you where it is.
Oh yeah, I think.
And
they will.
Showing you where it is going to give you a pretty good example or a pretty good idea of where it is or where it's going.
I think it will. Yeah.
And that's going to be the problem. Because then that'll be the first time that let's say that on election night it shows Biden with a commanding lead.
I don't think it will, but okay.
It's possible. You know what? In right now, if you believe the polls, which who does, you have Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, and Arizona, and Texas within the margin of error. Now, if Biden...
Oh, not all those are in the margin of error.
No, but Texas is.
Yes.
So if you would see... If Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, and Arizona are all leaning for Biden on election night, that does not look good for President Trump. And it would take a miracle of mail-in ballots to switch that over.
And he'll call all of those mail-in ballots, if they're not voting for him, as fake. So.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if that's where it is on election night, if that's where the score is, the people who support President Trump are going to feel like he's on the losing end of this, and it will start then.
Well, and rightfully so. I think the Democratic leadership has said we need a landslide so that we don't have that problem. Unfortunately, I agree with you. I think that will start the problem.
Right, and that will start. And when it does, that'll start the next day.
But I think we can avoid it.
Huh?
I think we can avoid it.
No, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we can avoid it. It's election results. It's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that. And then people are going to take to the street, because you're not going to have a speech, and you're not going to have a concession speech, a victory speech or a concession speech. So it's going to leave it in people's minds, and that's when the next day, because that'll be the first hint anybody has of the way it's going.
You know what bothers me is that I've been pushed into a situation. The last time I owned a gun was when I was 21. I got married. My wife didn't like guns. I agreed with her. I didn't like guns because I darn near shot my foot off with it. So I got rid of it, and I haven't had a gun since. And I've been talking about gun safety, gun education, gun restriction most of my life. And I asked my wife yesterday, do you think I should get a gun to protect us? I mean, that makes me mad that I even thought about that.
But what if you shoot your foot off again?
Yeah, that'd be the problem.
You'd be a pirate.
I'll have John Coble. I'll have to go take some shooting training again.
Oh, I tell you what.
I almost killed my DI when I was in basic training. Well, I didn't really, but I did point it right at him when it was loaded.
It's going to be trouble. Yeah. I feel it's going to be trouble, yeah. And I don't know if we have the wherewithal in this country to stop it.
Well, it will definitely be a growing pain for the United States of America and our Constitution.
Well, but I do believe the result will come. Oh, yeah. I just think either side is going to have a meltdown on election night.
I'm not sure if it'll
the losing happen. Side is going to have a meltdown.
I'm not sure it'll happen on the election night.
Well, I think the reason it will is because you will start to see the way things are taking shape.
If it's a landslide, I agree with you. It might happen that night. Yeah.
Right, but I don't think it's going to be close. In the Electoral College, I don't think it will.
What do you think about the Electoral College? I think we ought to do away with it.
I don't really know. I think it's the way the game's played, and I think
Not a game. It's one person, one vote. That's what I believe.
Well, but see, here's the problem with one person, one vote. Then there are the way the people campaign, and I think this is important. I'm not sure how you would do it, because now you try to go to the states that are swing states. And if you had to go after every person, I understand
we have the Senate to protect those who are covered.
Yeah, but I just don't, because who then, you know, a lot of these get out the vote rallies and a lot of these things are determined by the Electoral College because they believe that, you know, I think it would be very difficult to do it. And it's not a game in the sense
of
easy. I think it would be difficult.
Yes.
I think it'd be very difficult.
It would be difficult to get the votes right now.
Right. And I think that it's, it would cause some states to have very little representation.
Every state has two senators. We all have equal representation in the Senate. That's why they devise that.
In picking the president.
In picking the president? Well, you still got the Senate.
Who's ever going to go to Wyoming?
Why would you want to? No, right. Wyoming's a beautiful state.
Who's ever going to go to Nebraska? Who's ever going to go to...
Whoever cares. Those people don't care. They want to be left alone.
I think
alone.
They vote.
They vote, but right. They don't want to be bugged by this. I doubt that they really care whether a president comes and says stupid stuff like they all do.
And I think also if we went to the popular vote, I don't think you would ever have a Republican win at this point. Because I think that then
things would have to adjust in the Republican Party.
Well, I think that's how we came up with the Electoral College to begin with, not to elect one party or the other, but to...
I read that just the other day. I can't remember.
But it was to give some equal representation to all states and some states that had very little population.
It was... I can't remember. I looked it up, and that's not the real reason. The real reason at the time was to give landowners or rich landowners more of a say.
Now, how would that give them more of a say?
Because all the landowners lived in those states that didn't have a lot of population and had a lot of slaves.
But the Electoral College is based on population. Ohio's electoral numbers have went up and down because of population.
I understand that, yeah.
So I don't know why that would help them. If your state has low population, you're still going to have low... That's why the whole center of the country is red, but it barely adds up to what California has.
Well,
electorally.
And I think we've all been raised that one person should have one vote, and I believe that vehemently.
I also think it would... You know, it's very...
Otherwise, my vote doesn't count as much as somebody that lives in Wyoming.
But it does, though, because if more people vote in Ohio for one than the other, they get Ohio's votes.
Yeah.
You know, so if you
now
don't,
they're trying to adjust that by taking it to court.
Well, I don't think we can go there. All right, that's one step too far. But you know what? Glenn's coming up with old Dr. Feynman.
Oh, yeah, he's not old. He's younger than me, I think.
He's up there. He's not middle aged. And we also got offbeat news and trivia.
Are you saying I'm not middle aged?
If you live to be 150, sure.
Yeah.
Yes. But stay tuned. More coming up.
The Bloomingdale's department store. The salesman said, "You know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda." I said, "Oh, really? Well, I'm then I think I'll buy a suit. And now that you mention that, why? Because I'm alive, young man. The man couldn't believe it.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Five-ish Finkel.
What's the secret to getting to 92?
You don't know, I always believe in one thing, that the Lord up there, he calls you when he needs you.
Is there a role?
And he says, I don't want you, Five-ish. I got better acts than you upstairs. He says, I'll call you when I have a vacancy. I says, take your time, Lord.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH in Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1.